Isaiah chapter 40. How many of you guys are in the Christmas mood now? Anybody in the Christmas spirit now? This side over here is a little crazy this morning. I don't know about the... Before we get into our reading, I want to announce to you that it is time to prepare for Christmas, all right? It's time to prepare for Christmas. It's time to trim the tree, check the lights, and hang the wreath. Time to dig out the decorations to put them in the house and on the lawn. Time to bake the cookies, make the fudge, hang the stockings, fill the stockings, hang them up. Time to write letters to St. Nick, shop for gifts, wrap the presents, attach notes to the presents, and bows on the presents. It's time to address the cards, send the cards, receive the cards from people you haven't heard from in a long time. You guys get Christmas cards, you only hear from people once a year. Just me? All right, well, just me. Time to make the plans, time to go on the trips, time to welcome kids and their families back home. Time to practice the songs, practice the plays, prepare the lessons, preach the sermons. It's time to get ready for Christmas. All right? Now, there was a grandmother, and every year she loved to go and to go out and buy her great-grandkids gifts and her kids' gifts, and it was just the most beautiful time of the year for her. But this year, she had gotten sick, and she wasn't able to go out. And so instead of trying to go out and hurt herself and get sicker, she decided to get a bunch of Christmas cards and write in the Christmas cards, and she was going to put a check in there. So she did that, sent them off, and she felt good until a couple of days later when she was doing balancing her checkbook. She noticed that she never put the checks in the Christmas cards. Well, you wouldn't think that was a big deal, but she was shrieking in horror because of what she had wrote in the Christmas card, in her cards. And it read, "Buy your own gifts. Love, Grandma." Grandma had become the Scrooge. Sounds like my grandmother. No. So often Christmas becomes a bother rather than a blessing, full of headaches instead of hallelujahs, all because we fail to heed the words spoken in Isaiah 40. Let's look at that, verse 3 and verse 5. It says, "A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God." Verse 5. "And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Those words were fulfilled in the ministry of John the Baptist, and they are not talking about a construction project, but preparation of the heart to become the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, to welcome the Lord Jesus Christ, rather. Now, in our hustling and bustling and Christmas, our Western world has materialized Christmas so much that it becomes what we're getting instead of what we are giving. Our Father in heaven has set the standard for Christmas, and that is to give your best. Amen? To give your best. Because when the Father came from heaven, when he sent his Son to earth, he sent his Son so that he would be the redeemer of you and I. Not just the fixer, not just the somebody that props us up, but someone that would come to liberate his children from the tyranny of death and sin. And the Bible says in Isaiah 40, it says, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord. Today I want to talk to you about preparing for Christmas. I read to you a list of stuff that we do. At our house, we hung the stockings yesterday. We decorated the tree last week. We went to Dean's place yesterday and bought some of those planters and put them in the front. And we hung, yeah, propping up local business, brother. But we hung the lights on the front and we decorated the tree and we've done all those festive things. And we normally in our house, we like to put some Christmas music on when we're decorating and all that. And so we did all that stuff, and we're talking about getting Christmas cards, and we're talking about who we're going to buy for Christmas and who we're not going to give to at Christmas, and all these different things, and, you know, who's coming over and the schedule, and on and on and on and on. But when we forget what Christmas is all about, when we neglect to prepare our hearts to receive the gift that God the Father has given us, we have completely missed what Christmas is all about. We always make Christmas lists of what we want, but we never make a list of what we want to give. And see, it's so important that we be givers of the light of which God has brought to this earth. You and I are keepers of that light. We're not hiders of the light, but we're keepers of that light. And I want to encourage you today that as you're going out and buying the presents, and as you're writing the Christmas cards, and as you're hanging the stockings, and you're decorating the trees, and you're preparing for people to come, don't forget what Christmas is all about. Don't forget to set your kids down, whether they're adults or whether they're toddlers, and read to them about the baby born in a manger, about a baby that was despised by the world, a baby that was rejected by mankind, but is now the light of the world. Praise God that Jesus lives today, church. Amen. Praise God that we don't celebrate the birth of a dead God, but we celebrate a risen King who came and lived and showed us the way. And now that we know the way, we can partake in that way. Amen? Now, this morning, I want you to look with me to Luke 18 real quick. Luke chapter 18. If you don't have your Bibles, it'll be up there on the board. It should. Luke 18, 15 through 17. It says, people were also bringing babies to Jesus to give him, to have him touch them. Then the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter the kingdom of God. Now, I want to do this morning. I want to tell you that Jesus is saying that it's so important for us to be like little children. When I think of little children, I think of a couple of things. Number one, I think about the dependency that children have upon their moms and dads. I mean, yeah, they can do certain things for themselves, but it's up to the mom and dad to meet their basic needs, to guide them, to direct them. When my boys are hurt, they come to their mother, or they come to me. When they have issues, they come to me or to their mom. When they're hungry, they come to us. When they're tired, they come to us. When they're hurt, when someone said something to them at school that hurt their feelings, they come to me, their father. They come to their mother. And as little children, Jesus is saying we have got to be as these little children, so dependent upon our Father that we don't run to and fro and to every other person in the whole world to get guidance or deliverance or healing or their sustenance. But they go to their Father because as little children, we are dependent upon our Father. Maybe some of you in this room do not know what it's like to be a complete dependent upon the Father. But let me tell you today, it is a liberating feeling, a liberating experience to have everything depending upon what the Father has to say about my life, about my situation. Because if Jesus said that if you do not enter into the kingdom of God like these children, then you cannot enter in. And so we must enter in not only with dependence, but also with wonder. Children see the world differently, don't they? My boys look at a frog and their eyes light up and they run into mom's cabinet to grab a mason jar, and they look at fireflies different. They look at the world different, don't they? So many possibilities and wonders. They wonder over the craziest things. Joshua was sitting on the couch the other day, and he was rubbing my arm, and he looked at my arm, and he goes, "Wow, you got a hairy arms. Wow." He just sat there and wonder, look at that. Whoa. And then he looked at his, and he's like, "Wow, I don't have as many." Kids, they wonder over the craziest things. But when's the last time that we've wondered? When's the last time that we've marveled at the baby in the manger? The children see the world differently. We don't take time to wonder anymore. That's why for some, Christmas is just another day. We don't take time to wonder in amazement at the baby in the manger. We yawn through the story of Christmas. We yawn through the birth of Jesus because we've heard it so many times. But I encourage you today to find your wonder. Find your amazement in this time of year. Prepare yourself as a child. I know that for Christmas, my mother used to make Christmas so, so special. And even though we didn't have a lot, she would hype up Christmas to the point of just a frenzy for me and my brother, to the point where I couldn't wait to go to sleep so that I could get up the next morning to see what Santa Claus had brought my brother and I. I remember asking my mother, I said, "You know, Santa Claus comes down chimneys, right? So we live in a trailer, so I'm not getting how he's going to, you know, how he's going to maneuver. He's going to maneuver that." And she said, "Oh, well, Jimmy, he knocks on the door too." I went, "What? He knocks on the door too? That's insane." Maybe one day when my mother's up here, she'll tell you a few stories. But I remember Christmas just being a wondrous time, filled with amazement. I would hear the Christmas story at church, and I was amazed at the people, the wise men that brought gifts to our Savior. How that the very Son of God came down. And you see, Israel, they were expecting a Savior that was political. They were expecting someone to bring them out of captivity from the Romans and the tyranny of the Romans. But they totally missed it because God brought the Savior as in the form of a baby. He was born at night and only shepherds saw him. And they marveled at the birth of a Savior. This morning I encourage you to marvel today. Jesus called us to become children again. And let God wow us again. To stand in amazement at His greatness. His vast love for mankind. Let Him dazzle you with His greatness and His goodness. Find your amazement in the wow factor again in Christmas. Don't spend your time thinking about what you don't have and the money that you didn't have to spend and the bonus that you didn't get and the bill that came due that was more than you expected and now Christmas is going to be lean. Don't think upon those things. You, as mothers and fathers, set the tone for what Christmas is in your house. And it's upon you to instill into your kids the wonder of the Savior, the beauty of the birth of Jesus, and the majesty and wonder of what He has done for all mankind. I encourage you today to not let gifts dictate the success or failure of your Christmas. But gather your family around, whether they're young or old, and set them down and make a new tradition this year. That you open up the Bible and you read the Christmas story. And that you begin to instill into your kids again how wonderful and awesome Christmas really is. And the boys, our Christmas, the boys know that they get 3 gifts, and that's it, 3 apiece. And they make a list and they put it on the refrigerator, and that list is long. And I'm kidding Joshua because he is we're getting off cheap with him this year. He wants hair gel and Nutella. You know, the chocolate. That's not it, but that's, he put little stars beside him, so he definitely wants those 2 things. So you know, there was a mother, she was hustling, bustling back and forth. She was one of those people that wait till the last minute to buy gifts. How many of you guys wait till the last minute? Well, me too, most of the time. And she had two twins with her, and they were 5 years old. And she was going in and out of stores. She was hurrying. There was a Christmas party that night. And she was trying to buy gifts for everybody on her list. And her kids were being jerked up, put down, put in the seats, buckled in, taken out, throwing, you know, all back and forth. And it was just a hectic day. And they got in the car, and Jake, her little boy, said, "Mom, Susie has got something red in her pocket that's not supposed to be there." And she's already got them buckled up in the car, and you know how long it takes to put them in that seat and buckle them in and get everything set. And sure enough, she looks over and she pulls out, and there's a beautiful red bracelet. And that Susie caught her eye, and she put it in her pocket. And why not? She's 5. She likes it. It was shiny. And so she gets the kids back out, and she's frustrated, and she goes back into the store, and she sets the kids up where the teller is. And before she could get what happened out of her mouth, the teller looked at her kids and said, "Have you guys been good for Santa Claus this year so you can get presents?" And little Jake said, "I've been a terrific kid, but Susie has just stole from your store." Those kids, boy, they like to tell on each other. If you would, turn with me to Acts 20. The second way I want to tell you how to prepare yourself the right way for Christmas is to rediscover the blessing of giving. Rediscover the blessing of giving. Acts 20. Verse 35. It says, "In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself, who said, 'It is more blessed to give than it is to receive.'" It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Rediscover the blessing of giving. Rediscover the blessing of giving. Luke 6:38 says this, "Give and it will be given to you." Let's say it together. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. Say this, poured into my lap. Giving brings more blessing to the giver than it does to the receiver. The problem is that we don't really believe that. Our culture is a lot more into getting than they are giving. I'm not saying that gifts are bad, don't get me wrong. I've already put my order in. I know what I want for Christmas, and it's not my 2 front teeth. And I'm not saying that gift giving is wrong. Let me just take yesterday. Yesterday, I became familiar with the ministry a few months ago called Heaven's Touch Ministry. And this ministry is ran by a lady that is probably about this tall. And she has been the director of this ministry for 30 plus years with no pay. And the warehouse, when you go in, is organized. And you walk in, and there's these white boxes about this tall, about this wide. And they have the names of families on those boxes. And what astonished me was the ages of the mothers. Some of them were 16, some of them were 20, most of them were in their 20s. And they were single mothers, and her whole ministry is to minister to them, to get them jobs, to educate them on parenting, and to make sure that their kids have a wonderful Christmas, their gift giving. And you, this church, New Freedom Church, gave $400 toward that ministry. And I want to thank you so much for that. Dana and some of the other ladies went out. Summer was some. Bobby was another. Who else went out? That's it. And they went out for 5 hours or so and shopped for these kids. And we didn't get just any kind of little rinky-dink toy. We got them good stuff. We got them the best stuff. And the lady that does this, Cindy, she makes sure, not only does she give gifts, but she gives these big Tupperware totes. And then it has 20 plus items. And they're not just like little bitty, like hotel soap things. We're talking about name brand stuff. We're talking about mouthwash that's this big. We're talking about rags and towels and everything that you need for daily living. And they give the mother a special goodie bag as well. And she said this, I heard her say the other day, yesterday when she was getting these bags together. She said, here, would you give me another mouthwash, a bigger one, find a bigger one. And she said, the reason why I want these totes to look so, and to look just right, and for the ladies to have the best, is because we're representing Jesus. This ministry is representing our Savior, Jesus. How many, if we lived our lives that way, our attitudes would be different. Our thinking would be different. Our giving would be get different. Our time serving would be well spent instead of just something that we have to do. Giving is a wonderful thing. Let me explain. When we give a toy to a child who has no parents, and you bring food to somebody or give money to feed somebody who would otherwise go hungry. When you share what you have with someone that everyone else has forgotten about. When you give your time to visit a shut-in drowning in loneliness. When you send a card to a soldier overseas who is spending his nights guarding our freedom while we are here at home. That is a blessing beyond any gift you could ever receive for yourself. I encourage you today that if you have not done so this year or this Christmas season, find somebody to bless. Find someone to encourage. Trust me, you don't have to look far. The need is out there so great. The need is out there so abundantly. You don't have to look far. You don't have to drive down to the inner cities to find somebody to bless. Maybe there's somebody sitting here this morning that has yet to feel the hope and wonder of what Christmas is all about. Maybe all your life you've struggled with the thought of Christmas because you never had family to celebrate with. Maybe you grew up in a dysfunctional family, a broken family. I can tell you that all the above was me. But my mother is a saint in my eyes when it comes to this time of year because she never focused on what we didn't have. Our Christmas tree was probably just the tip of that tree right there. And we had about 3 ornaments on it because we couldn't afford any more. And the rest of it, we made popcorn strings and we decorated them with things that we colored. And my mother made it such a festive event and she read the Christmas story to us. And we weren't even Christians, but she saw the value in it. And she she never once focused so much on gifts, but on family and on the birth of a Savior. For that, I thank her. And I encourage you today to do the exact same thing. Find somebody that needs to be uplifted. Whether it be a hug around the neck or a Christmas card. And by the way, if you're going to put money in there, I would make sure you put the check in there before you send out the card. But make sure that this Christmas season isn't just about getting gifts, but it's about giving. Now, thirdly and lastly, in order to prepare yourself for Christmas, we must turn the lights on. Turn to Ephesians with me. Ephesians chapter 2. Starting with verse 14. It says, do everything without complaining or arguing. Let me read that again. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault, in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like the stars in the universe, as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ, that I will not run or labor for nothing. When's the last time you viewed yourself as shining like the stars? Shining like the stars. The Lord Jesus called himself the light of the world, but he has called you and me to be the light of the world. Jesus pictured the world as cold and dark, and us as the light in that darkness. He wanted us to live differently. Everybody say, live differently. When everyone else is griping and complaining, we should be content and thankful and loving. Matthew 5:6 says this, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Perhaps at no other time in the year besides Christmas, the Christians have a chance to shine in the darkness more clearly and more beautifully. I encourage you today that if you have Christ living inside of you and you count him as your Lord and Savior, if you count him the King and the Lord and Master of your universe, of your life, then the Bible says that you shine like the stars in the heavens. I encourage you today to let your light shine in this time of year. Because so many people are depressed during Christmas. Do you know suicides double around Christmas and the holidays? It's just the way it is. But you and I can be a light and point that light to the shining light, who is Jesus himself. Let me say this on a side note. Jesus has not called us to be the Savior. Jesus has not called us to be the Savior. We cannot save anyone, but we can point them to the Savior. Amen? We can point them to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Your job as a light for the world is to show them why he came and to lead them to the light of the world that can light up their darkness. Today I want to end this service this morning, and I want to talk to you about a gift that I read about. True story, it's not something made up. It's about Mr. Henry and his gift. Those two little girls, and they were coming home from school, and they were around 8 or 9 years old. And it was around Christmas time, and they were getting out of school, and they were playing and running down the sidewalk and sliding on the ice. And they were talking about what they were going to get for Christmas, and they were talking about the this and that, and they were excited about what they were going to get, and they were talking it up. And they stopped in front of this house, and they came across this man, and he was on his hands and knees. And they asked Mr. Harry, they said, "What are you doing on your hands and knees?" And he said, "Well, my mother's been passed away for many years, and she loves her front yard. She loves the flowers. She loves decorating. She loves keeping her yard in order. So for Christmas every year, I go to her house, and I pluck the weeds, and I make sure that her house is in order. It's my Christmas gift to her." And those girls were gripped so much that they found themselves on their knees plucking right along with Mr. Harry. It took them the rest of the day to get the yard just like she would have wanted. And at the end, the two little girls looked at his house and saw that it was broken down and saw there was no curtains, no decorations, no sign of Christmas whatsoever. The man was poor, and his jacket had holes in it, his gloves, his fingers were protruding, his fingers were blue from being out in the cold and doing that for his mother. He reached into his pocket and he grabbed two quarters and he gave it to both of the girls. And he said, "I wish I could give you more, but that's all I have. Thank you so much for helping out today." Two girls walked back home in silence as those two quarters were burning holes in their little pockets. One of the kids called her mother, the other friend that night and said, "Look, I think we need to do something for Mr. Harry, and let's take our two quarters and put them together and let's buy him a gift." And so they put their quarters together in a little jar and they labeled it Mr. Harry's gift. And they went around the neighborhood asking neighbors if they could do yard work or if they could do anything in their house that could raise any amount of money. And so for a whole week they went around and they did all this, just little busy bees. And they kept adding quarters and nickels and dollars and $5 here and there until finally at the end of the week they came up with enough money to buy Mr. Harry a gift. And they had enough money to buy him a card as well. And they were so excited, they wrapped this gift up and it was purple. And they had wrapped it themselves, so you can imagine 2 8-year-olds and their wrapping job. And they had their card in hand, and on the way they decided, "Hey, you know what would be cool? Let's surprise him and go up to his house and let's just stand on his front porch and let's start singing some Christmas carols." So they did, and they got his attention, and he came to the door, his eyes filled with tears because he had no family. And he heard those little kids singing the wrong words to whatever Christmas carols they were singing. And they noticed the gift. And they gave it to Mr. Harry. And they said, "Mr. Harry, we want to give you this gift." And he said, "It's not much, but we wanted to bless you and give you this gift." And he opened it up. And he read the card. And he already had tears in his eyes. And he was doing everything he could to hold the tears back. And as he began to unwrap the present, he shook the box like this. And out came a new pair of leather work gloves. And he was so overwhelmed by the gift that he took those gloves and he pressed it up next to his face and he cried. And his tears wet the leather gloves and he couldn't say anything. He snatched those little kids up and he hugged them and he thanked them so much for all the gifts of the gift that he had given them for Christmas. Today, church, you can close your eyes and you can hold your breath and you can go in your room and lock yourself away and hope that Christmas goes away quickly. Or you can do like these two little girls did and you can go out and bless somebody else. It's not about the gift. It's not about the amount of money that you give, but it's the intent on how you give it. We learned that from our Father in heaven because he was very meticulous about his gift. The gift that he gave us was timed perfectly in history. Not a minute too early and not a minute too late. It was perfect in its timing. The Father, since time began, waited for this moment so that he could bestow upon all humanity his love and his goodness and his righteousness and his loving kindness toward his children. And today you and I have knowledge of that fact. And because of that, we won't be judged on our sin if we're born again. What we will be judged as is what we have knowledge of and what we did with that knowledge. And today I encourage you this Christmas season is to give of yourself. Make Jesus known to your family. Start something new and sit down on the floor. And gather your kids around. It doesn't matter if they're full grown. Gather your grandkids around. Open up the Bible and share with them the reason why we celebrate Christmas. I encourage you today to prepare yourself for Christmas. Don't get caught up in all the commercialized things that go on today. So many of us put things on our cards and we don't pay Christmas off until next November. I encourage you, redefine Christmas in your house. Prepare yourself for Christmas. How is Jesus calling you to prepare your heart this morning for Christmas? I encourage you, listen today. Make him known. Because unto us was born in the city of David a baby that was Christ, who is called Christ the Lord. He is our Redeemer. And I encourage you, please today, listen to your pastor. Redefine Christmas in your home. Redefine what giving is all about. Teach your kids and your grandkids, teach your family the value of the Savior. Let's all stand. Today, Amanda, would you come? Today, I want to give this invitation to you. If you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, if you don't know what true Christmas and true giving is all about, then you don't know what true love and joy and peace is all about. Now, I could stand up here and give you 5 points on how to be blessed at Christmas, but today I want to give you the number one reason to celebrate. And that is that if you don't know Christ today, and if you want to get to know him as Lord and Savior of your life, then you can know the true meaning of what this gift is all about, and it's the salvation of your soul. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory, the Bible says. And today you have an opportunity to wonder again. The opportunity to have complete dependence upon your Father. To get to know a loving Savior that came and was born, was misunderstood, was beaten and died, but then he rose again so that he could give you life, and life more abundantly. Today, would you bow your heads with me as I pray? Today, I want to ask you this question. If you say, Pastor, I want to know the light of the world that you've been talking about, and I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. I want to repent of my sins in order that I may know him. If that's you today, I want you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Anybody this morning? Praise God. You say, Pastor, this year is tough for me. I'm either away from my family or my family's going through a very difficult time, and I don't feel much joy. I don't feel much like celebrating Christmas, and I need your prayer. If that's you, would you raise your hand this morning? I want to pray for you. I'm not going to call you up. I just want to pray for you.